Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. And today we're going to be talking with travel guru, travel expert, Peter Greenberg. But first, I want to point out that Lying on the Beach is powered by the Handle Stick, the must-have phone accessory that adds stylish jewelry and usability to your smartphone. And as I mentioned, our special guest today is the multi-Emmy award-winning investigative reporter, producer, Peter Greenberg. Peter is my brother from another mother, not really, but we do share the same last name. And he is America's most recognized and honored travel news journalist, known in the travel industry as the Travel Detective. Peter is the travel editor for CBS News, appearing routinely on CBS This Morning, and the consummate insider on reporting for the traveling business as news in general. Peter also hosts the PBS television show, The Travel Detective with Peter Greenberg. Peter, welcome to Lying on the Beach. Thank you for joining us.
Well, perfect title for your show, although neither of us are lying on the beach at this particular time.
Exactly. That's why we love it. It's and the lying, you can go on any way you want to look at the lying part. So first up, we're in extraordinary times right now. Obviously, I don't need to tell our listeners or you that this coronavirus thing is historic and certainly very frightening. And the travel industry is probably taking the biggest hit. I personally have been flying, but by necessity, I was on a flight yesterday and it was empty. I mean, the flight was empty. The airport was empty. Is this going to take down the major airlines? Is this going to take down the hotel chains? What do you think the outcome of all this is going to be for the travel industry?
Well, let's start out with some basic facts, and that is that the travel and tourism industry, believe it or not, is the largest in the world. It's one out of every 10 jobs. It's one out of every 5 new jobs, which is particularly critical at this time. It's about 11% of global GDP. So when you mess with that, you're messing with global economy, and that's exactly what's happening here. But to answer your question specifically, you mentioned major airlines. Let's break that out. Right now, we're talking about the major airlines in the United States and then the airlines around the world. It is inevitable. I'm not trying to be sending any kind of false alarms here, but it is inevitable that you're going to see consolidation. You're going to see outright failure among a number of airlines overseas that just don't have the capital or the assets, and they're not going to come back. You know, for all the talk about how good the economy was before the coronavirus, think about this. In the last 12 months leading up to the coronavirus, we lost 31 airlines. Those aren't airlines that left because they went bankrupt. They're airlines that left because they were liquidated, bye-bye, not coming back. So we're in a particularly crisis mode here in the airline sector. Now, about the U.S. airlines, they're going to get bailed out. They're going to get bailed out because they're deemed critical to the infrastructure and the transportation networks in this country because they're so linked to the economy. And let's not forget, it was the airlines that started by carrying the U.S. mail, which they still do. So there's a huge investment in there in terms of our economy by both the government and by the private sector. They will get bailed out. Now, how they get bailed out, how it makes a difference in the long term, how we benefit as consumers remains to be seen. But overseas, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Are you thinking that the bailouts are guaranteed, that there's no question that our government will step in and save whatever airlines need it or all the airlines? So nothing will change as far as the American airlines that we know.
There will be changes. But if you take a look at the big four, I include Southwest in that, American, United, and Delta, they're not going anywhere. They are going to get bailed out. They have enough cash on hand to get through this, although the estimate is if this continues, they would be bankrupt by May. So the government's going to step in. There will be loan guarantees. There will be some other financial instruments put into play. So they're going to stick around. How that affects all of us is a different story because, as we're talking, airlines, one by one, are suspending routes, both international and domestic. And there may be routes that don't come back when this is over. There may be routes that just never get air service when this is over, simply because it's no longer economically viable, even with the bailout. So hold on to that. Because remember, if companies fail, companies don't travel. Companies don't travel, airlines don't get revenue. And they can connect the dots very quickly. Just as those dots got essentially disappeared within 72 hours of this virus. I mean, the drop-off is significant. We're looking at 24 airlines around the world, as I'm speaking to you now, that have suspended service altogether. they're still, you know, they're still, you know, viable business entities, but they took a look at their numbers and said, why kid ourselves? Let's shut down entirely. So we're looking at United Airlines in this country cutting about 80% of their service internationally, about 50% to 60% of their service domestically. But overseas, we're talking 24 airlines, and that number is growing as to how many have simply said, let's not even turn the lights on.
So do you know people in the travel industry that have gotten fired or laid off or are scared to death? I mean, what's the temperature out there?
Oh, there is no temperature out there. Everybody's scared because the accountants are taking over. They're looking at the numbers. They're going to be furloughs. Look, everybody who works at an airline, who works at a hotel, is either being given an opportunity to take an unpaid leave. What a great opportunity that is. Or they're being laid off. And you're seeing this in the hotel industry left and right. The hotel industry is, when you're dealing with occupancy levels that go down as low as 4%, why even come to work? There's no point in it. It's unsustainable. So you need to break that out because people think, for example, when you look at Hilton or you look at Marriott or you look at Hyatt or any of the big companies like Intercontinental, the mistake that people make is they think that Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt, and Intercontinental own those hotels. They don't. They're management companies. They might have equity in a couple of hotels, but of the thousands of hotels that they manage, they own a precious few. So the people who are really taking the beating here aren't just the brand names. It's the actual owners of the buildings, of the real estate, and they don't have any recourse right now. So you're going to see a lot of failures that can't be that can't come back. There's going to be a glut in the market. There'll be. By the way, this is all connected. I'll give you another example. I talk about airlines that are going to go away and not come back in Europe. I believe that. The numbers support it. Well, when that happens, a lot of these airlines have been leasing very new Boeing 787s or very new Boeing 737s. All of a sudden, what does that do to the order book at either Boeing or Airbus? It shrinks it because any airline that might even want to buy another airplane right now, they don't have to go to Boeing or Airbus. They can pick up a 1 or 2 year old brand new plane off the ground. So you're going to see the chain reaction here is going to be stunning.
How I mean, do you think there's a timetable on this, Peter? I mean, like, you know, everybody, you know, the travel industry could sustain this for a month or two, or, you know, it can't go beyond that, or it's
well,
like,
no, the travel industry cannot sustain this as we're speaking. That's why the bailout packages are coming very quickly. So the timetable is now. You can't wait 2 or 3 weeks because everything is interconnected. It's the same thing with getting people money who are, you know, your hourly workers. They can't, and sending them just a check for $1,000 ain't going to mean a whole lot. People are going to default on their mortgages. They're going to default on their rents. They're going to default on their credit cards. And there's no provision in place to protect them for that unless the government steps in and orders the financial institutions to do forbearance, which is give these guys, you know, a 60-day grace period or a 90-day grace period. They've done it now with filing your income taxes in terms of paying your tax.
Right.
They haven't told you you can't file. You have to file by April 15th. But if you owe money, they're giving you a little more time to pay. So sooner or later, they're going to have to come to grips with the overwhelming number that we're talking about here that's all connected to this.
So you don't have a remedy, do you?
If I had a remedy or a timetable, I would have shorted the stock market 6 weeks ago. But no, all kidding aside, no. The remedy is this. We're going to have to infuse the market with a tremendous amount of capital from the government just to get back on our feet. The good news, by the way, and there is good news, and that gets back to our cultural DNA. And that is, as a society, we don't just want to travel. We've come to the point now where we need to travel. We don't do very well sitting at home for long periods of time. We do want to go lie on the beach and do other things that have a genuine, authentic appeal. So once the warnings and the health restrictions are lifted, there's going to be pent-up demand like you've never seen. That's the one thing I agree with the president on. People are going to be running to get out of town. However, first they've got to get their financial house in order, and that may take a good 8 to 12 weeks.
Peter, what about the cruise industry? I mean, that's part of this whole travel picture. Bill Maher, I think, called it a floating Petri dish. We've seen them having this problem before. And obviously, this problem seems to have not started there, but certainly was noticed there quickly. You've got 3,500 people and more on a floating boat there. Is this going to hurt them permanently or not at all? Or
The damage here is longstanding, and I'll tell you why. First of all, in terms of the government bailout, it's easy for people to justify, in most cases, the financial aid to the airlines. They're considered critical to the travel infrastructure. Same thing for hotels. Cruise ships, they're not transporting people. They're providing an opportunity for them to vacation. Different story. So they're going to have a tougher road of getting that kind of government help to the extent that they need it. And by the way, they will need it because of the optics here. But let's put this in some perspective to be fair to the cruise lines. As I'm speaking to you, there are 365 cruise ships that would normally be sailing at this moment around the world. Most of them have been parked, as you know. But normally, there are 365 ships out there on the oceans of the world. How many of those 365 ships were actually negatively affected directly by the coronavirus? Three. That's less than 1%. But the optics were so overwhelmingly negative. Going back to those pictures, those visual images of the Princess ship being, you know, basically quarantined in Yokohama for 2 weeks, that the subtext here that's not really spoken about is how many people do not want to go on a cruise ship, not because they're worried about catching something, but because they're worried that if somebody coughs, they'll be quarantined and won't be able to get home.
Right.
So they've got, the cruise lines have a huge PR work ahead of them to change that image and to let people know that it's going to be okay.
And even before the coronavirus, they had a history of occasional outbreaks of things that, again, was kind of negative PR, and they kind of, you know, the spin kept happening.
Well, but let's put that in perspective, too. You're talking about the norovirus, which is really a gastrointestinal disease, which is easily treated. And they were able to either mitigate it or minimalize it because they instituted much better personal hygiene protocols on their ships about doing things that we're being asked to do now. Washing your hands before and after eating, before and after going to the bathroom. Those are the things that they've done. And if you go back and take a look 10 years ago at norovirus outbreaks versus the last 6 months, it's been minimal. So that's not their issue. Their issue is the concept that you're going to get quarantined if somebody coughs while you're on the ship.
So before, Peter, I don't want to get too far away. You were talking about the airlines, and you said there is some good news. I don't remember hearing any good news.
I gave you the good news, but you didn't hear me. The good news is we need to travel. And the good news is when this restriction is lifted and we're allowed to get back out there, we're going to go. That's the good news.
I thought the good news is that the airlines were going to, you know, come down in price and or there'd be, you know.
The airlines are not going to come down in price unless it's the law of supply and demand. So immediately prior to the government restrictions coming into place, the airfares are already at rock bottom prices. You can go from Los Angeles to Hawaii for $99. You can go from Boston to London for $250. You can't fly from Boston to New York on the shuttle for $250. So they were already there. The problem was, this is a problem that the industry as a whole, whether it's airlines, cruise ships, hotels, cannot simply discount their way out of it. We have an emotional component here. We have the fear factor. It's going to take a while.
Okay, the next question I want to ask you, which a number of people asked me about, is that a lot of travel packages are not willing to refund money to the clients. What is that all about?
Well, that was the way they were before this happened. My guess is that's not going to last very long because the government will step in simply because it's an overwhelming consumer outcry here. Plus, if you paid with a credit card, you know, under federal credit laws, if you basically contracted for a service or to buy a good that you didn't receive, you have the right to dispute the charge and get an interim credit while the credit card company investigates. I will be very surprised to see in the next 4 weeks if those draconian policies that were in place still hold up. So my advice to somebody, let's say you have a flight or a tour package that's booked for sometime in April or May. There's no point in canceling it now. Wait. Take a deep breath, no pun intended, but wait. And then, as you get closer to that, watch as those policies change to be in your favor. The public outcry is going to be huge.
I don't mean to get personal, but I have a very expensive African safari trip coming up, and they turned us down. It's a U.S. travel agent, and we're talking about $50,000 for two people.
And you didn't insure it?
We insured it, but, you know, the insurance company, too, says, sorry, we don't cover, you know, this kind of situations.
Well, guess what? That's exactly what I do on my television show. That's what I do on my radio show. Why don't you separately send me the details and let me get into it. I will guarantee you, you're going to get your money back.
Well, I mean, I'm asking for a lot of people too, because a lot of, and I feel terrible because I know they said, you know,
if you're asking
hotel,
for a lot of people, if you're asking for a lot of people, here's my direct email, peter@petergreenberg.com. This is what we do. But make sure you send me all the details.
Yes, yes.
Not just like I talked to a guy named Joe and he said, no, that's not going to help. I need to know dates, times, reservation numbers, confirmation numbers, method of payment, who you talked to, what their title was, what they said. We'll get into it.
Wonderful. So do you have any other information that's happening in travel now that we should know about that we haven't asked you?
Well, how much time do you have?
Well, give us a top line.
Okay. Number one, the key thing for everybody to do now is nothing. Just wait. Travel policies are going to change. We just discussed about your case, refund or rebooking policies are going to change because the airlines cannot legitimately get that government bailout without dealing with these consumer issues. I guarantee you there are congressmen and senators who will not let them off the hook for that.
That's interesting.
I'm hoping so, because there's I mean, honestly, everyone's on pins and needles anyway. They're just worried about their family, their own health, and whatnot. And then, like, I also have several flights going on booked through June, but I'm not going to cancel them yet because there's still a change fee. I assume that these no change fee policies will start to expand into May and June as this thing expands into May and June.
Yes, at the very least, what you're going to see is an attempt by the travel providers to say, okay, if you've got a flight and for whatever reason you can't take it, or we have the medical provisions in place, then we will let you rebook it at a later date with no change fee. That's the first thing they're going to do, because they're desperate to hold on to cash. But the old days of not being able to refund it without a change fee, or with canceling with nothing back, those days are essentially over for the moment. Look, the cruise lines had the most draconian refund policies prior to this. If you wanted to cancel your cruise within 30 days of sailing, you got no money back. And I guarantee you, those policies are long gone now.
Why?
Because the cruise lines are desperate for you to get back on the ship. That's why.
So what do you think the attitude is going to be, though, for people that, like, Steve and I were avid travelers. We've been all over the world on budget cruises, expensive cruises. I'm sorry, trips, not cruises.
Yeah.
Trips, you know, tours, going alone and everything. You know, like, this puts a whole different, you know, hook on or impact on us on future travel. Like, you know, we're afraid if we go someplace, something's going to happen and we're not going to be able to get back home.
Well, you know what? That'll go for, like, 3 months. And then you're going to forget about it because you just want to go.
Right.
That's our nature.
True.
That's our DNA.
Yeah.
I would bet on that.
I mean, you're talking to two people that have decided in their senior years, that's all we do. We go on major, like seven trips a year. You know,
that's more Lois. More Lois than me, I have to say.
I got
that.
It.
Well, you work more than I do. You work.
But for everybody else out there, let me give you the worst four-letter word that starts with F when it comes to travel, and that's fear. And fear destroys your ability to think clearly. And that's why I'm telling everybody to take a deep breath, because inherently we love to travel and we still want to get back out there. What's going to change now is how we do it and where we do it in certain cases. Remember, after 9/11, nobody wanted to fly over a body of water to go anywhere because they were worried about terrorism, and they stayed home. Domestic travel boomed. Well, that's what's going to happen again. When this is all over, you're going to see a lot of car trips, a lot of 300-mile trips to different domestic destinations. So the U.S. domestic travel business is going to do just great, and then everything else will start to come back slowly but surely.
You think this is a great time to buy travel stocks, like stock in Royal Caribbean and stock in...
If you think I was going to give anybody financial advice on this show, you're delusional. Not going to happen.
He is delusional.
Okay.
He is.
That's my job. Yes. I'm going to take a break for a moment, because speaking of financial, the way Lie on the Beach actually comes to you all is because of the generosity of our sponsor, the handle stick. It's the must-have phone accessory that adds stylish jewelry and usability to your smartphone. Handle stick attaches directly to the back of your existing smartphone case or phone, and there's no need to switch cases because it can go right to on your phone directly. Handle embraces has a brace system. It effortlessly lets you grip your phone, whether you're speaking, texting, or taking a selfie. It feels like the phone is floating in your hand. Handle allows for complete one-handed use of your phone, which frees up the other hand for multitasking. Handle stick is also a kickstand that stands up your phone in both landscape and portrait modes. And yes, you can wirelessly charge your phone through the handle stick. It comes in more than 40 styles, including animal prints, lots of colors, fun glitter, sophisticated carbon patterns, and the handle stick starts at just $10. And we all have a lot of extra money right now because we're not going out to restaurants. So consider it. Check out Handle Stick at Handle, H-A-N-D-L, NewYork.com. HandleNewYork.com. And convenience,
so,
back to travel.
All right. So, Peter, one of the other questions that came, like, from 10 different people, they want to know, going forward, what health tips can you give us when we travel, especially on a plane? I mean, this is like a good life lesson, learning lesson for all of us, where we took things for granted before. What should we know now?
Well, the basic health tips are the same I was giving everybody for the last 10 years. You know, most people think that when they get on their plane, that plane's been waiting for them since the Nina Pinta and the Santa Maria. The airline is lucky if they can turn the plane in 35 minutes from its incoming flight. So get your antiseptic wipes and clean down all the surface areas that your skin might touch, not just the tray table, but the seat backs, the armrests, the air nozzle above your head, and then, of course, wash your hands before and after going to the bathroom. That is, if you could actually fit into an airline bathroom these days.
Oh, gosh,
And then you do the same thing when you get to your hotel. You know, what are the biggest areas of the hotel room that have high levels of bacteria? The TV remote control unit, the telephone handset, the bedspread. Anytime I go into a hotel, I take the bedspread and throw it into the corner. And then the one thing that nobody thinks about, you go into the bathroom, and you take the two water glasses in there and put them under extremely hot water for 2 minutes, then you'll be fine.
I don't even do that. I don't even touch those glasses. Those glasses that are in the bathroom, forget about it. If they're not wrapped in plastic, I'm not interested in those glasses.
Even if they are wrapped in plastic, put them under hot water.
Yeah, that's true.
So what,
and I do
so what do
the
you,
bedspread.
Yeah. What do you travel with, Peter? What kind of antiseptic material do you use?
Just the basic stuff. Well, look, you know, without mentioning brand names, it's just the antiseptic wipes or the hand sanitizers. And I also, this has nothing to do with health, I also travel with duct tape.
I think I read this someplace in the New York Times.
Because it fixes everything.
I don't. Oh, it does fix everything.
It does.
It's true.
Yeah.
I carry extension cords, a long charging
cord. I'm a hardware store. I carry two, if not three, phones. I carry two or three separate sets of batteries, extension cords, adapter plugs. I'm basically the Ace Hardware store in the air.
What about medications? Filled prescriptions with you?
The only medications I take with me are medications that are given a generic prescription name so that no overzealous customs guys think I'm doing something wrong and I can get it refilled anywhere in the world.
Right.
But
you do go prepared, like with antibiotics and everything else like that.
I have a very good friend of mine who's an emergency medical doctor based in Hawaii, and he gave me the best kit ever. It's in a small little metal box. It's every pill I would ever, ever need to take for any eventuality until I can get to a hospital.
Where did we buy that?
And you didn't buy it. He made it up for me. He gave it to me. But by the way, your doctor can give it to you.
Right.
And then just make sure he identifies every drug and what you can use it for, what you could never use it for. And I'll knock on wood and say the only time, I've only had to use it once, and that was about 8 years ago. And thankfully, I'm happy that I have it. And I'm also very thankful I haven't had to use it since.
And
so
I got to tell
happy?
You, if you travel,
go ahead.
If you travel with Lois, she brings 10,000 Q-tips. We don't know why, but she doesn't go anywhere with so many Q-tips. So if you may be the hardware store in the sky, she is the Q-tip supplier in the sky.
Also, anti-acids. Don't forget about the anti-acids when we were in Israel.
She does carry. Yeah, that's true. She does have anti-acids. No, she's very helpful. She's a little pharmacy actually in her bag. anything you'll ever need. I'm sure it competes with that metal case from your doctor. So, but anyway, I think we've pretty much made traveling safe again once this virus is over. Anything else you want to ask, Lois?
There's a million things, but we'll let Peter go. Maybe we could do another one in 2 weeks with him.
Okay, we'll all be home sitting around.
It's a very fluid situation. It's changing rapidly. But remember, take a deep breath. Wait for the right moment to discuss whether or not you want to cancel your trip or at least get the refund. And remember my favorite mantra, which is never take a no from somebody who's not empowered to give you a yes in the first place, and you'll be just fine.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my
great
God.
Advice.
Great advice. Love it. Okay,
well,
Steve.
Thank you very much. Once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter.
You got it.